Good morning. I want to start out by saying a word of gratitude and thankfulness to two guys who deserve it this morning. One of them is Austin. Austin had worked really hard all week and put together what I thought was a really well done and orchestrated worship service for today. Thought really hard about the song selection and had all the plans. And just really, I don't know if you know how much goes into it for the folks that lead worship, how much time they spend prayerfully considering how best to capture our hearts and attention and direct them toward God. Austin did all of that, and it was amazing. And then, at a time I think best described as dark 30 or early o'clock, he works for the electric company, and there were storms last night, so he got the call, and he got to go keep your power on for a while, and that's where he is this morning. So the second guy to say thank you to is John, who took that well-written script and ran with it on very short notice, which is also difficult to do. So I'm grateful for Austin for doing such a good job he could hand it off, and for John for being willing to pick it up and run with it. I thought that if I hadn't told you, you might not have known that that was all shuffled about an hour or two before service, but both of those guys did a wonderful job. We're going to continue our thoughts this morning, taken from the book of 2 Timothy. And last week we talked about the idea of the gospel being entrusted to Timothy. Timothy, like us, had a set of concerns about the future. For us, we wonder about what's the future of Christianity, what's the future of the church, where are things going, what's my place in that, what kind of church are we leaving for our kids? And those are the questions we have. And for Timothy, it was the idea that Paul was in the last season of his life, and already Timothy was alone. He wasn't traveling with Paul at this time. He was preaching and doing the work of an evangelist. And the question is, you know, where do we go from here, and what makes the next step possible? And last week, the answer was the gospel of Jesus Christ had been entrusted to Timothy, and Paul persuades him that that is what you need. It's a gift and a responsibility. It is a blessing and a duty, and that's what's going to get you through to the next phase. I think this week's lesson then picks up on that theme and asks the question, what if the challenges of the future are more than I can handle? It's all well and good to say, now here is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're responsible to it. And beneath it, you are responsible to go and take the gospel and be a Christian in the world, or if you're a minister like Timothy, to do that. But all of us in our own way have been charged with the care and the task of gospeling the world, of taking the gospel out there and living it out and teaching it, believing it, and being people of faith. That's the task that's been given to us according to the first chapter of 2 Timothy. What if I'm not up to it? What if I'm not up to it? What if the world changes so much I'm just not ready for the obstacles that are ahead? What if I'm not up to the task? For Timothy, what if I can't do it without Paul? What if I can't handle the burden and the challenge of responsibility? What if I'm not up to the task? When I wrote this slide, I even put in, what if the challenges of the future are more than I can handle? Some of you this morning might be thinking, what if the challenges of the present are more than I can handle? I'm already up to here, and you're saying it might get worse. I'm not sure how I feel about that. It would be easy, I think, to look at our world and even some of the things we've all been through in the last few years and wonder, what's next? I don't know what more I've got, right? I don't know if I'm up to it. So I think that's the kind of question that you ought to keep in mind when you're reading this section from 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul is going to ask Timothy to remember what it means to endure and how we do it. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. The first part of the answer is, what if I'm not up to the task? What if it's more than I can bear? Is to remember who it is that we serve. We are Christians, and built into that name is the name of Christ Jesus. Built into that name is a story of a man who was crucified, a man who was murdered, a man who was lynched, a man whose faithfulness to his mission and to his God and to us was taken to the furthest extreme a commitment can ever be taken. That's the religion you signed up for. There is no way I can pretend to be surprised when I say I follow Christ crucified and then discover that my life might be difficult too. I don't get to. I don't get to pretend I was fooled. I thought this would be easy. We serve a man who died horribly, painfully. That's the faith we have received and chosen, the convictions that drive our actions. We serve a crucified man. The cross is the symbol of our faith. So I think the first thing that Paul tells Timothy is, you know, to a degree, you're right. You're not wrong. It is going to be tough. This is Jesus Christ and him crucified we're talking about. This is a man whose first sermon, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, at least it's the first sermon in Matthew's gospel. And in the first like 10 verses has that line, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake." I can't act surprised. There's going to be difficulty. Jesus knew it. We knew it. And he showed us the way of the cross. He showed us how it is that we're supposed to face those obstacles. With faith and confidence and trust in God, not in ourselves, but that the way of God and the promises of God would come to fruition. A Sunday morning kind of faith that doesn't only live on Sunday morning. It was a Sunday morning faith of the resurrection that got him through Friday afternoon. That faith of what was coming allowed him to endure. So I think the first message to Timothy is, you need to endure because Christ endured, and that's who we follow. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. Second thing that Paul wants to remind him of is that you're not alone in this. It's really hard to complain to the Apostle Paul about hardship. It's really tough to feel bad and get a little pity party for yourself when Paul is writing this letter from a prison cell facing the equivalent of death row. He knows it, Timothy knows it, the Christians know it, Rome knows it, everybody knows it. He's escaped things before, he's been let go by an angel, he's been through courts and trials. This is the end of the road. He appealed to Caesar, he's on his way. This is only going to end one way. And Paul's not sad about it. In fact, when we get to chapter 4 here in a couple weeks, he's downright triumphant about it. Like to him, this is the ultimate and perfect end of a life of service to Jesus Christ. Again, Paul understood, I chose to serve a crucified man. How else could my life possibly end? But for Timothy now, it's a reminder, other people are in this with you. When you're having a difficult moment of life, and I say this, you know, this is written to a man, Timothy, who might face legitimate persecution. I'm going to go out on a limb and say no one in this room has ever or is likely to face legitimate persecution. I could be wrong, but it seems like our problems are... He had capital P problems, we have lower P problems. Like our problems are very small in comparison. And yet he's being reminded that even that you share. That there are other people in the world facing difficulties and enduring. And you have a responsibility to them and an encouragement from them to know that that task of endurance is being shared. We endure because of those who endured before us. Like Paul, people that have come before. We aren't the first people who have had a little trouble being Christians. You know what people face difficulty being Christians? All the people. Everyone who has ever taken that commitment of faith has faced consequences for it. Some of them very small, some of them very large, but it is not a faith that comes for free. The ultimate cost was, again, paid by the crucified man. But all of us will face our own share of difficulties to hold to those convictions, in addition to the ups and downs of just being human, which is plenty for most of us. We endure because we've been handed a heritage and a legacy of people that have come before us and also those in the world today. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul, why do you endure? Why do you stick it out and tough it out and make it through? What keeps you going? He says it's the knowledge that there are other Christians in the world. And I am a participant in something bigger than myself. Again, when you suffer, I'm convinced Satan makes it, he works extra hard to make you feel both suffering and alone. There's a loneliness in obstacles and difficulty that makes you feel like you're the only one going through it, or the only one who ever has. I think Satan works hard at that to convince you you're by yourself. And it can happen on a Sunday morning. You look around the room, and there are some of you right now, I have no doubt, because there's somebody feeling it every Sunday morning, who looks around the room and thinks to themselves, boy, the rest of these folks have their stuff together. I sure don't. Here's the surprise. Everyone in the room is thinking that same thing. Everyone in the room looks around during communion and says, boy, the rest of these guys have their act together. What great Christians they are. Hope they don't know I'm a fraud. All of us are thinking that at some degree or time or another. We're all in this thing together. Paul says, I endure what I endure because there are other people out there that I'm connected to. And their faith and their conviction is an encouragement to me, and mine is an encouragement to them. Endure because of those who endure with you. And that starts here in this little group of people that meet in this room, and it goes out into the whole world. I've talked a little bit, and I'm going to talk a little more, about the group of students I've got to work with the last 2 weeks from Ukraine. I got one more week of online teaching, and it's been such an eye-opening experience to me to get to teach Christians from another place in a very different set of circumstances, and made my problem seem really small. Monday morning at about 5:30 a.m., I get a call from the director of the Ukrainian Bible Institute. He says, I know you're on the way to teach class. I just wanted you to be aware before you log on today and start teaching. Did you look at the news? So I pull up my phone and look at the headlines. And Monday was some of the biggest day of bombings that they've had almost since March. And not only was it bombings, it was bombings in places where they hadn't been bombed previously, out in western Ukraine, where they thought they were more or less safe-ish, as much as safe exists. He said, we're just getting kind of our act together. We think all our students are alive, but we won't know till they start logging in for chapel. I've never had to have that conversation. I've never wondered on a Sunday morning, I wonder which of my people are still alive today and will walk through the door. Maybe I should. Maybe I shouldn't feel so at home and peaceful, and maybe the world is a dangerous place. But I've never seriously woken up on a Sunday morning and sat at the back and thought, I wonder who's still alive today. As it turns out, all the students made it. Every one of them had a story of someone who didn't that they knew personally. Folks, there are people out there in the world. And then they logged on for 3 hours to study the book of Isaiah with me. And you get that? There are people in the world going through stuff and have a commitment to the faith of Jesus Christ, to the Word of God, that makes mine seem so small by comparison. And I think Paul is saying, you know, I suffer. Yeah, I do. People who came before me suffered. Yeah, we do. We endure because we're not the only ones. And we need each other. We are strengthened by the endurance of every other person that endures. I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the Word of God is not bound. The next point I think he makes is to remind Timothy that even as you face these difficulties, it's not all on your shoulders. That would be too much. And that's probably the mistake we make. If Timothy believes the future of Christianity is up to him, Timothy, you do the job well. If you're a good minister, Christianity survives. If not, it ends right here. It doesn't leave the first century. That would be more than any human I've ever met would be up to. And if you believe that, it's going to crush you. You've taken on a weight that isn't yours. You have a responsibility to endure. You have a responsibility to your convictions, to your faith, to your God, to each other. But you're supposed to remember as you do it, that the Word of God does its work, whether we're involved or not. Timothy, if you preach the gospel, then you will be the person preaching the gospel. If you don't preach the gospel, nothing silences the gospel. This word does not return unto me void, says Isaiah. 1 Peter quotes that passage and says, you know, the grass of the field perishes, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It's not up to any one of us entirely, and it's up to all of us. Do you get that strange little tension? Each of us carry a responsibility. None of us have any ultimate responsibility. This is a story about God and his victory. When we get to the end, we're not going to look at each other and say, good job, you made Christianity work. When we get to the end, we're going to say, glory be to God. His word is unbound, and there is no obstacle that slows that down. Endure, simply so that the word of God can do its work in the world. Our job is just to kind of be there and wave our arms a little bit while God goes out and does the heavy lifting. Our job is to be present when God changes the world, as he does every day with his word. And that's how Paul ends the section in verses 11 through 13. The saying is trustworthy. The word trustworthy there, for what it's worth, in the Greek text is a form of the word faith. So the old King James Bible translated it. This is a faithful saying. And you get the point. That's in a context of how do I know? How can I believe? What happens next? And Paul says, you can bank on this. Here is where your faith must stand. Here's where your trust remains. And then he does something a little unusual. Tells a poem? I don't know what he's doing. I think this is an early hymn that the church might have sung, because it has like a little sing-song thing to it back and forth, and it's not Paul's normal writing cadence. And as you read it, you're kind of like, what just happened there? That it's some kind of maybe a little hymn or something that they would have sang in churches, that Timothy would have heard in his church, and that they would have sang. And he says, here's something that you already know, Timothy. Maybe you sang it this Sunday. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And again, I don't know if it translates well into English, but it has this little sing-song quality to it. And you can imagine that etched into the heart of first century Christians who, again, were legitimately suffering. And they'd face the lions in the Colosseum, and they'd sing their favorite hymn to themselves. If we have died with him, we also live with him. And they'd face the obstacles of Rome, and they'd sing the verse of their favorite song. If we endure, we will also reign with him. They'd say, deny Christ or perish, and they'd sing to themselves, if we deny him, he'll also deny us. They would fear failure, and they'd sing the song. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. How many Christian lips must have sung those songs facing certain doom? Paul says, you already know the story. And this is the ultimate lesson that I'll say, I think as I've aged a little as a preacher, something that has changed in the way I approach this topic and this passage. I think younger preacher Ben would have felt like this sermon, to be successful, needs to be a huge guilt trip, where I tell you that it is up to you, and there's a huge responsibility, and you have to endure, and the church needs you, and Christ needs you, and the kingdom needs you, and the world needs you. And all of that is at least a little bit true, except it's not the bigger point that Paul makes. We sang a song earlier that makes the bigger point that Paul makes. When Austin was putting the service together, he said, do you think it'd be okay if we sang Great is Thy Faithfulness twice? I said, on that Sunday, we can sing it 10 times. Because that's the message. In our heads and in our hearts, we think the story is great is my faithfulness. God's so lucky to have me. But that's not the story. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. God is the one who remains and is steadfast, and that's where Paul ends. Timothy, how are you going to endure? We endure because God endures. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. At the end of the day, we ask the question, what if the challenges of the future are more than we can handle, and we're asking the wrong question? The message of Paul is, don't ask if you can endure, trust in God that you will endure. This is about the steadfast faithfulness of God. He's going to be there. He's going to remain. My job is to show up. The success of the kingdom of God does not depend on me. My part in it may. Your part in it may. But the kingdom of God and the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ exists to bring God his glory and is entirely built upon his steadfast faithfulness. How do we endure? Because I'm built there too. If you try to build your life on your own courage and strength and character, you may get a ways. You're not going to get where you need to get. But if we put ourselves on the faithfulness of God and depend on him completely, nothing the world can throw against us can change his trustworthiness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Would you bow in a word of prayer? Our Father and our God, we thank you for being the same day after day, unchanging, without shadow of turning. We thank you for being dependable, enduring in a world of change. Help us, God, to trust in you and abide in your faithfulness. Help us to show up. Help us to do our part. Help us to speak where we should speak, act where we should act. But in all things, help us to know it is you and you alone who allow us to endure. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who endured the cross and despised the shame, we pray. Amen.